Today on Real Radio.
You know, you can visit famous leaders in their shrines all around the world. You name the religious founder and they're dead. Jesus lives. Amen. Jesus is alive.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we continue our Passion Week series by Pastor Jack. We're calling it Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World. It's a series that focuses on the historical events surrounding the death, burial, and resurrection of Israel's Messiah, our Lord. We've already looked at a number of messianic prophecies fulfilled by Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in the process, we've learned more about the divine requirement of blood atonement and why Israel's Messiah was introduced as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But of course, it doesn't end there. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now taking a look at one of the most mind-boggling events in all of human history in a presentation called Resurrection Sunday.
Throughout the Old Testament, the Bible announces the peace of God, the shalom of God, and Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That word rest means to repose. Now that's an old English word. We don't know much about that word repose. We should repose more. Repose is more of a, kind of like how you eat in the Middle East. You know, we have our traditional colonial type Western European tables. You know our tables that we have at home? You pull up and you sit down like that and you're still, you know, a couple feet off the ground when you're like that. Not in the Middle East. The table's about 12 to 18 inches off the ground and you repose. You lay down like this and you talk and you eat and of course someone's foot is near your face on that end, but hopefully they had their feet washed before they... But it's so laid back! We don't even know anything about being laid back anymore. I accidentally left my phone on the bus in Israel at the airport. And I thought, in fact, my first response was this, "My phone, I left my phone." And then I thought, "Thank God I left my phone, I left my phone." Took about 4 days to get here. For 4 days, I was able to repose. You know how busy we are? No, you don't. You have no idea. We are so on the go constantly, and all these artificial things pulling on us, let alone life itself, and we have forgotten what it's like to repose. And Jesus says, you come to me and you find rest for your soul. Do you have a troubled soul? Are things pressing and crushing in upon your life? If given the opportunity, would you accept Christ to have that removed? That God brings in a rest into your heart? I could tell you about it. I could preach it to you. I could speak to him blue in the face. But until you take of it, you'll never know what it's like to have his rest. And I'm asking you to consider that. Satisfaction. Are people satisfied today? I don't think so. The Lord is our satisfaction. Why? That we might be filled. Filled to the point of satisfaction. Listen to this. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9 is a great pill to take. It's a great pill to take. Listen, this is serious. You ought to write this down. I personally believe if you practice this verse, I believe many physical situations of your life will begin to dissipate if you just practice this. Psalm 107, verse 8. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." Stop right there. Imagine if you were to meditate on God's goodness. When was the last time you were so overjoyed and excited that you could click your heels over God's goodness? "And for his wonderful works to the children of men." When was the last time we stopped to meditate on God's wonderful works? Did you see the sun come up today? You're having to suffer through another horrible day outside? God's goodness. Listen, let me tell you something right now. There's a lot of things that you can do to correct a child's life, but when a child is ungrateful, there's nothing you can do. It is hideous. I think it is one of the most detestable things on the planet when a human is no longer thankful for what that human has. And I fear for America. I fear for our blindness because of our great ease. We are living off the residual of the faith of our fathers, and God continues to bless this nation, but for how long, I don't know. And yet, in the midst of all of the blessings, we're not satisfied. I need more money. I need a bigger car, a bigger house. I want more of this. I want less of the other. I want this. I want everything. I want it all. And we're not satisfied. And then we get it, and we're still not content. This morning, because I'm still going through jet lag, look, I'm sorry, I'm confessing right now, it's weirdness. This a thing about jet lag with me, I don't know why, but I have to have pancakes. And this morning, it was just so early, and I said, and thank God Lisa has jet lag too, so she was up at some ungodly hour, I don't know. And from my room, from my study this morning, I said, Lisa, I need pancakes. Really got to have them. And she says, well, how do you want them? Normal? Oh, yeah. You know what normal means in my house? Peanut butter pancakes with syrup on them. It's just, I know, there's been no archaeological evidence to prove this, but I'm certain Jesus ate them that way. And I ate, and I ate, and I ate. And did you know something? When you want something, I want it, I gotta have it, I gotta have it. Listen, I got so many pancakes, I no longer wanted the pancakes I had. And we can be like that in life. If I just get this promotion, just one more step, if I got one more $1 million, I'll be okay. Never will it happen. God has made you in such a way that you'll never be happy. You'll never be content. Your life will never be full until you come to your Maker. Amen. You're like the little gingerbread man running and running and running from his Creator. And you won't be happy until you're home. The Lord is our resurrection. That's why we're here. The Bible says that the Lord is our resurrection. Why? Because we need to be freed from death. Every one of us is going to die unless the Lord comes back. Unless Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, says that he descends in the atmosphere and calls his people home, we're going to die. And how's that going to be? What will that be like? You know what's awesome as a Christian? I've told you guys before, but those of you who are visiting, think on this for a while. As a Christian, you know what? We don't worry about death anymore. We don't worry about it. I was told by someone recently, they said, it's amazing how Christians die. I'm not going to tell you the context or who said it, what part of the world, but they said, it's amazing how Christians die. They're so quiet. They're so peaceful. They just die. The Bible says, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Someday we're going to die. It's tough to convince a young person that they're going to die. They feel so good, you know? You say, man, you're going to die. Not me, man. Uh-uh. When are you going to learn that all the generals send the young guys out to the front lines? You want to know why? Because the generals are smart. It's the young guys who think they're not going to die. Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, to pay our sin debt, because without him dying on the cross, we would not only die in this world, the Bible says that we would inherit hell. Those of you who are Christians, you're not going to go to hell. Did you know that? You miss it. You'll never know it. In fact, Jesus says some pretty radical things regarding the believer's life and death. And death I have to abbreviate. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, he who believes in me, that is, puts faith, trust, rest in him, though he may die, yet shall he live. For whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you know what that means? Watch me. Watch everybody. This is what it means. The believer is living. And when the time comes to die, it happens like this. Did you get it or did you miss it? You want me to do it again? Watch. When it comes time for the believer to die, it happens like this. You close your eyes in this world, the Bible says, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The next thing you do, you open your eyes and there's Jesus right there. The Bible says that. The Bible says that. That's what God says in his word, resurrected life. Jesus rose from the dead so that we would know for sure that there'll be a day of resurrection for our bodies. Yes, but the moment you die, if it's today, imagine if there's a 10.5 earthquake in the next few minutes and the whole building, millions of tons of concrete, comes smashing down upon you and air conditioners the size of trucks come through the roof and crush every one of us. You would have wanted to have been a believer if you had not been one at that moment. Let me tell you. Think about that. It's always amazing when you think about it because, you know, you get on an airplane, and I got airplane stories because I spent 15 hours on an airplane from Tel Aviv to LA. It's 15 hours to the second. My rear end says LL. Israeli airline on my bottom. And all the way, you think about, man, we're high. Boy, we're really high. That's, oh, it's pretty bumpy. Those wings, you know, who made those wings? Huh? As a Christian, you know what you do? You go to sleep. On the airplane, God, if this is the way that you've ordained me to go, that's pretty cool. From 30,000 feet down to the ground, it's about 8 minutes. What a way to go. Right? Think about it. You say, I don't like when you talk like that. It's very morbid. If you're going to hell, it's morbid, yes. But if you're not going to hell and you're going to go to heaven, it's like, okay, bring it on. You think this is a nice day outside? It's awesome in heaven. You see that bumper sticker? It's an old bumper sticker. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. That's a good rapture statement, by the way. Someday the Lord will come back, but if he doesn't, listen, do you have the resurrection life inside of you? Do you know that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, has been a deposit placed inside your life to be, as it were, your stamp of ownership? The Lord is life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That word abundantly is an amazing word. It means excessive life. Now, I got a challenge. And listen, if you're visiting, I'm glad you're here. I'm only speaking to people of this church. When Jesus said abundant life, I'm going to give you abundant life, we need to really believe what he has to say and then walk in that life. Because the word, listen, the word excessive, that's a pretty big word. Abundant means to be have excessive life. If we could say too much life, is that even possible? The word means favored, a favored life. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but who in here would want to have a favored life? We all would want to have a favored life. I want a favored life. We grew up in school. I think your teacher's pet. I think they like you more. Remember those words that we heard about the other kid? God loves you. God favors you. And he's not impartial by doing that. He's not somehow unfair by doing that. Isn't it amazing that if you come to Christ by faith, as the Bible says, you come and you receive him, knowing that he's your Savior and that he's going to forgive you of your sins, and he rose again from the grave, God incarnate, resurrected, and you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I cannot prove this, but Zephaniah chapter 3 comes kind of close. I believe God gets a smile on his face. The Bible says when we meet up with him someday, he will sing over us and he will twirl with joy. Can you imagine? Does that bother you to think that God would see your face in heaven and be excited that you're there? Isn't that what you want down deep inside? Amen. And then this. The Lord is our light. He's our light. Because you and I need to look past the darkness of it all. This world is getting darker. I find it somehow attractive and also a tale about myself. Little children don't want to have the light turned out at night. They want a nightlight, or they want to have the door left open so that they can see the light. And I think that's a divine, beautiful, attractive thing. The Bible says that we as believers now walk in the light. We once did not walk in the light. We were at home in the light. Now as Christians, we were once lost. The Bible says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, "Look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." What a great statement that is. What a great word that is. The Lord is our future. When I say future, I mean security. You know, there's a lot of news going on right now, justifiably so. North Korea's acting funny, doing some silly things. Lebanon's doing some silly things. Syria is slaughtering. By the way, VOM states that many of them are Christians that are being targeted at a time like this. Jordan is on the brink. Egypt has gone nuts. I spoke to a friend the other day that flew out of Cairo, and he said on the streets of Cairo, there's nothing but mayhem, and the trash is stacked 30 feet high because the infrastructure has broken down because they have a new government. And over 200 Sudanese refugees are trying to make it across the Egyptian border into Israel for safety. Over, listen, 200 a day. Many of them are being killed and slaughtered in the desert sand. The world is coming unhinged. And there's very little security. And the Bible says when God is our rock, when God is our refuge, the mountains may shake. They might even be cast into the sea. But the Lord is our rock and we shall not be moved. That's inside of you. God wants to be inside of you like that rock. With all that's going on. You could read the news today and go nuts with terror. Or you can choose to embrace him. I'll point out a few more things, but I'm telling you, I've given you enough. That if you today, and I'd like you to challenge yourself, I would like you to tell yourself why you would not today make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. I promise you, I know something about you you don't know. And that is you cannot generate one argument that will hold water, not a one. It will become, your defense will be emotional. It can't be intellectual. It will most likely be one spiritual. You will not want him. And Jesus says, all those who will come to me, I will in no wise cast off. That's a tremendous statement because Jesus is saying to the world, come to me. He's saying, get up and come. Take a stand for me. The Bible announces that he died in my place on the cross. Then I announce today that he is now my Lord and Savior. I receive that gift of eternal life that he gives. I want my sins forgiven. I want my life changed. And I want you to run into his name like a strong tower. Resurrection Sunday morning, in my opinion, is the greatest day of the year. See, what about Christmas? Christmas is great, you know, the coming of the Lord into the world, but you know what? If he wouldn't have died, then who cares about his coming? And it comes down to this. He not only died, he rose again from the grave. You know, (clears throat) You know, you can visit famous leaders in their shrines all around the world. The best looking dead guy I've ever seen in my life is, oh, what's his name? I forget. Brilliant, huh? Who's the guy in Russia in Red Square? Lenin. He looks great, but he's like this. I mean, he's like. And, you know, there's some stuff written about him, about how great he was and that he's this and he's that. He's dead, though. He's dead. I'm so great. I'm going to recreate the world. I'm going to usher in a whole new utopia as long as I have all the money. Right, he's got all these plans as long as he gets it all. You know what? He's dead. You name the religious founder and they're dead. Jesus lives. Jesus is alive.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Resurrection Sunday. We're bringing you this series called Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World in observance of Passion Week. And happy Easter to you, by the way. And our prayer is that you truly come to terms with the historical facts. Jesus was crucified, buried, and then rose again according to the Scriptures, and that He is the divine Messiah who lives forevermore. Join us next time as Pastor Jack resumes his teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, that'll be on Monday's edition of Real Radio, but right now, though, it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. And I gotta admit, on a personal level, Pastor Jack, you're a pretty busy guy. I mean, schedule's pretty heavy. I don't mind running down the hall here and knocking on your door and saying, okay, Pastor Jack, it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack recording, because I know you really like doing this.
I do.
And it gets you out of whatever, you know, whatever other meeting you're in at the time. And I'm fine with that, and I hope you are too. All right, this one comes from Marshall, and he says, I go to a church with my family where they say that hell is not real and that the lost will not rise from the dead when Jesus comes back, and those who die in Christ don't go to heaven when they die, but they're simply sleeping. Marshall asks, is that all true?
Yikes, before I answer that, I bet you, though, they believe in the verses that say that they should tithe to that church. Huh?
Right? Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Marshall, I think you know the answer, right? Show me in the Bible, Marshall, and I'm being lovingly sarcastic with you to prepare you to speak to your friends and family. Show me in the Bible where Jesus says hell's not real.
Right.
In fact, Jesus says the opposite. Mm-hmm. Show me in the Bible where the scripture says the dead are not going to be risen. Well, listen, Paul the Apostle made it extremely clear. Jesus made it extremely clear. To say that the dead do not rise is to leave Jesus in the tomb. As well.
Mm-hmm.
If the dead do not rise, then how is it that Jesus is risen?
Right.
Listen, Marshall, the answer is your friends are probably in some sort of a church that shouldn't be called a church, or in some form of a cult. This is crazy. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The mm-hmm. moment a Christian dies, mm-hmm. they breathe their last breath here, and they're next in a millisecond of time mm-hmm. in the presence of God. Hell is real. If hell was not real, why would Jesus come and die?
Right.
If hell were not real, why would Jesus lie to us?
Right, right.
If hell is not real, then God is just kind of, flamboyant? That he would send his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish.
Yeah.
But have everlasting life?
Yeah.
No, this is absolute heresy, mm-hmm. Marshall. It's wrong. It's deceptive. And I'll just say this. What a great, great ploy of Satan to get a bunch of people to believe that there is no hell. Because if there's no hell, then why don't we eat, drink, and be merry?
Yeah.
For tomorrow we die.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's real, Marshall. It's going to happen. There's people there now. It's going to get worse for those in the end. And Revelation chapter 20, right around verse 11, makes it extremely clear. Marshall, trust in what God says and forget about what people say.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.